Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 28 of the report. Yeah, man. This shit's running late. I know. Actually, this is the second time I've actually tried to record episode 28. I actually finished episode 28 a couple days ago, and then my internet went down. Shout out to Comcast. So, like, I couldn't upload the fucking episode. And then once I went back and I took a listen to it, and then the shit was garbled. So I'm like, you know what? Let me do this again, because I know a lot of people are like, we don't want Mrs. Span to be on no bullshit and not put out another episode. We may not hear from this nigga for 6 months. So here you are with episode 28, man. But I'm chilling. It's a Tuesday night, and I'm drinking on a Shock Top Honeycrisp Apple Wheat. Now, these are like my default go-tos when I just like feel like I just want something good. And these are really fucking good. They're really refreshing. And I wanted to get these for my grandmother when I was in Chicago. And I'll tell you guys about that in a minute. But I wanted to get these for my grandmother in Chicago. These are like my favorites right now. But the Shock Top Honeycrisp Apple Wheats, I got them shits popping off right now. And that is the drink of choice for episode 28. But I want to take a little bit of time out real quick to thank everybody who sent words of condolences, who, you know, let me know that they were thinking about me and thinking about my family and, you know, with the loss of my uncle. You know, shout out to, who was it? Clove. I think that was Clove that hit me up on Twitter, you know, to let me know that he was thinking about it. And, you know, like, I don't know, man. It was much appreciated that folks reached out, man, and I do appreciate it, and I can't thank you guys enough for that. But yeah, I'm gonna talk about my trip to Chicago a little bit, and then I'm gonna talk about some other things too, man, because I think this is gonna be another episode of But I Don't Like Your Christians. This is gonna be like I Don't Like Your Christians part two, because there was some things going on. Like, first, there was a story that came right out of Detroit, ironically, go figure, of Pastor Marvin Winans refusing to bless a child of an unwed mother. I'm going to talk about that. There's also the story about Adrian, you know, Peterson losing his son, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then, you know what, I'm going to talk a little bit about relationships and what people, you know, where people draw their lines when it comes to relationships. I'm gonna talk a little bit about that. And yeah, so without further ado, I know I got some news. I didn't really have any random thoughts. Not a lot of time for like random thoughts. I didn't have anything just pop up in my head like that this past week and a half or so. But I'm gonna talk a little bit about some news, and I got some listener feedback to get to. So without further ado, let's get right into the motherfucking podcast, man. First thing I wanted to talk about was this Pastor Winans, man. Now, for those of you who know, who don't know, Pastor Winans, or Pastor Marvin Winans, is from the famous Winans gospel family. I think even Mario Winans is, I think, his nephew or something like that. And it's funny because, like, a friend of mine that I went to college with, she actually married into the Winans family a few years ago. But, you know, Pastor Marvin Winans has been in the news lately because there was a story that came out about, you know, they were blessing children at Perfecting Church. Now, Perfecting Church is what you could call a mega church on the east side of Detroit. And, you know, he has a pretty large following. You know, again, of course, you know, the family is pretty pretty popular, you know, being the famed Winans. I mean, even Marvin Winans, he delivered the eulogy at Whitney Houston's funeral. So they're a pretty prominent family within the Christian community and whatnot. So Perfecting Church is a pretty large church. It's a mega church, you could say. And he was in the news actually sometime earlier this year because he got carjacked on the west side of Detroit. I remember that. But, you know, he's been in the news because he refused to bless a child. It was a 2-year-old little boy. And he refused to bless this child of an unwed mother. Now, this whole thing of, you know, we could talk about being judgmental. You know, a lot of people look at, like, church-going folks as very judgy. I mean, sometimes people look at me as very judgy. I'm judgmental. And I can acknowledge that in myself. But, yeah, like, a lot of people look at church-going folk, especially people who are really devoutly religious and things like that, they look at them as really, you know, really judgy. And this is another instance of that. With Pastor Winans, though, it kind of epitomizes part of the reason why, even though I would identify myself as a Christian, even though a lot of people probably wouldn't, one of the reasons I'm so critical of the church and I become so cynical about the church is because of actions like this. I mean, it kind of takes me back to when I thought about, you know, getting back into church and, you know, going every Sunday and stuff. Because when I was younger, man, like when I think I was 17, 18 years old, man, I was like a junior deacon and all of that, man. Like, I really got deep into the church. So when I was maybe 24, 25, man, I went to this church that I used to go to as a kid. And a lot of things had changed, you know, like there was a lot more people going to the church. So they had 3 services instead of the 2, instead of giving you audio tapes of the church service. They had DVDs pressed and ready to go for you at the end of service to sell to you. There were jumbotrons and, you know, like movie style, like screens all over the church so that you could see the pastor, even though you could see the pastor before from, like, you know, one of the balconies or whatever. But yeah, they had a lot of that going on. And I just remember, like, being really turned off, because I remember back in the day when, you know, people made contributions, or they made, you know, they put their tithes, their offerings or whatever, you were known by name. You know, I thought it was a bit odd that people, they would put who gave what, but they would have in the program every Sunday, such and such, you know, gave this amount, such and such gave this amount, such and such gave this amount. Now, I didn't necessarily care for them telling you, you know, telling the whole congregation how much money you gave or how much money you tithed or whatever, but I thought it was nice that they acknowledged you by name. For whatever reason, the church went to a numbered system, so now every parishioner had a number, and it felt so impersonal. It felt, I don't know, like, it's just, this is a business transaction. It's like, no, this is something that most people do for spiritual enhancement, so to speak. But yeah, it felt like I was making a business transaction into this church. I was nothing more than a number. That was one of the first things that kind of turned me off. Another thing that kind of turned me off to the church was the fact that the preacher that I grew up listening to was hardly ever there anymore. And it wasn't that he was out sick or nothing like that. He was out in the Bahamas doing missionary work. Now, I ain't crazy, but I just know they have missionary Baptist churches in the Bahamas. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why couldn't the missionary Baptist churches in Bahamas kind of, you know, step in and mission, you know, do their missionary work within their own realm? Why did it take this pastor from Detroit to go all the way to the Bahamas to go do some missionary work when there's so much work that could have been done right there in that neighborhood? So that was one of those a few of the things that kind of turned me off to the church. And then when you hear stories such as this one, where a pastor of prominence decides that he's going to use his pulpit to bully someone else, because that's essentially what I feel like this is. This is bullying a woman and shaming a woman because she decided to have a child and wasn't married to this, you know, to this child's father. Now, again, we talk about the church being judgy and things like that. Like, there's two things. First of all, the church would frown upon her having the child out of wedlock. But then they would also frown upon her having an abortion if she decided that she couldn't take care of this child. You know, so she's caught coming and going when it comes to the church. And one of the things that kind of bothered me, because after a while, man, like I said, I got to a point where I just started reading the book for myself. Like, I kind of stepped away from the whole fact of, you know, preachers being able to tell me what this book is supposed to mean for me. So I started reading the book for myself and getting my own understanding of it and applied it to how it applied to my life. And one of the things that kind of caught me in my own reading, and this is something that I thought, like, you know what? This is something that this pastor should have known. So I was reading, and I've been reading this book extensively, because not only, you know, do I, you know, do it for my own spiritual enlightenment and whatnot, but I get into a lot of, you know, debates, you know, me being a Freemason and all. So it's good to know the book that you're talking about when you're in debates and whatnot. But one of the first things that kind of caught my attention was the book of Mark. And in the book of Mark, I think it was chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. And in the book of Mark, it says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter heaven. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Now, this is Jesus doing this to his disciples. He's rebuking his disciples for denying the children blessings. Why in the hell wouldn't a pastor of a church who's in charge of leading the flock or whatever not know this? If you're claiming you're supposed to be a teacher, a leader of the flock, so to speak, why wouldn't you know this, and why would you use that pulpit to bully that woman? So I didn't want to get I didn't want to get biblical like that, so to speak, but it was just one of those things, man, to where it's yet another instance to where, but I don't like your Christians, because sometimes they don't necessarily act very Christ-like. And I know that's the mission, to be Christ-like, but you'll have an instance like that to where someone of prominence who people put up on this pedestal, and he's not know, I guess he didn't know, or who knows, but you know, that kind of stuck in my craw, man. I didn't like that much at all. And yeah, every bit of criticism that this dude is getting right now is very much worth it. And I know, like, a lot of people, they got the new reality show with the preachers in LA and the whole money thing, and I mean I get that. All it's a lot of preachers that are hustlers. It's a lot of preachers that are hustlers, which is why I choose to, like, read the book myself. I don't necessarily have to go to church or nothing like that. I read the book myself. And yeah, I'm going to hurry up and get off of that. Because, like I said, I didn't necessarily want to get too biblical on y'all, but I just felt like that needed to be said, man. Another thing, too, was talking about Adrian Peterson and the loss of Adrian Peterson's son. And it's funny how again, people can be so judgmental. And I, you know what? I can even fault myself in this instance because I thought some, you know, probably a little bit sideways about his decision to play in a game right after hearing that his son had died. But that was just my initial reaction because I didn't know the circumstances. I didn't know that he barely knew this child. I didn't know that he just stepped up and said, you know what, this could be my son and I'm going to be a part of this boy's life. I didn't know those, you know, initially. But as those details started to emerge, I started to feel worse and worse for that child's mother because people were making it so much about telling this woman how wrong she was to have this dude around her child, as if she wasn't suffering enough with having lost her baby boy. And so it just kind of speaks to this this social media age, I guess, to where everybody feels they have to comment on everything. And I, of course, you know, I'm guilty of this too, but we feel we have to have something to say about everything. The, you know, the facts be damned a lot of times, you know, people don't necessarily wait for all the facts to come out before they make decisions. A lot of times now people just want to be the first to say that they said something, or people want to be the first to say that they told you about X, Y, and Z. You know, like when the government shutdown ended, that was one of the first things I did. Like, oh shit, let me tell people government shutdown is over with. You know, and it might not have necessarily ended at that particular moment, but the vote was coming for it to end. But I wanted to be one of the first people that people heard that from, that the government shutdown was over with. So when it comes back to the Adrian Peterson situation, man, just it's a sad thing, man. And then on top of that, to have someone like Don Lemon, who, you know, it's kind of ironic that Don Lemon, you know, finds himself being the main proponent for male responsibility and I don't know, I guess black criticism, or, you know, criticism of the community, so to speak, when he got so much support from this very same community when he came out as a gay man. Now, I don't necessarily know if the, you know, those two intertwine or whatever. I just think it was just interesting that Don Lemon finds himself on the point of this particular issue, why he used his show to point a finger at Adrian Peterson when Adrian Peterson didn't necessarily have to do anything. I mean, I don't know if there was a DNA test or any type of paternity testing done to make sure that Adrian Peterson was even this child's father. But the fact that Adrian Peterson said, you know what, I was with this boy's mother, it's very possible that I could be this child's father, and I'm going to do what I can. You can't do nothing but commend him for that. And so for Don Lemon to take this opportunity to give pot shots to a man that's actually trying to do the right thing, man, it's a bit low, man. But again, we live in a social media and media age, so everybody has an opinion about everything, man. But yeah, I got through those rather quickly. But another thing I wanted to talk about, man, and I wanted to talk about this because it was brought to my attention actually earlier today. I was on Facebook early this morning, and I follow one of the morning shows here in Detroit. And on the morning show's Facebook page, they were asking the question of whether or not you could stay in a relationship with someone who couldn't keep a job. And I was reading this because, for one, you know, there was a point in time in my life where I couldn't, like, really find stable work. I mean, I've done a whole lot of different jobs, man. I've worked at Little Caesars, I've worked at Wendy's, I've worked for an airline here in Michigan, I've worked for an airline in Chicago, I've worked as a repo spotter, I've worked as the shutoff man for the gas company before I found, like, real steady employment with the utility company here. And there was a time where, you know, it was me and my daughter's mom, and, you know, she was the primary breadwinner. And I can remember there being some stress about it. I can remember there being some arguments about it. I can remember there being some bouts of us being very uncomfortable because certain things were getting cut off, or we had to cut certain things out. We didn't have money to do a whole lot. So you know, I'm reading through the comments, and it was just amazing to me how many people just flat out was just like, no, it ain't happening. Hell nah. There's no way in hell that I'm going to be with somebody that ain't working. There's no way in hell that I'm going to be going to work and they ass is sitting at home. It was a lot of that. I mean, the funny thing is, like, of course, I'm not surprised that, you know, you would see this coming from a lot of women. I'm not surprised by that, only because for so long, that was the male's role, to go out and provide for the family. You got with a man who had a job. You got with a man who you thought could provide. You know, there's the old adage that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So I get where a lot of that comes from. But then on the flip side of that, there was a lot of dudes saying the same thing. You know, I can't be with a woman who doesn't have a job, or who doesn't bring X, Y, and Z to the table. And it was funny to me to hear this coming from guys, because, like, okay, so basically you want your woman to go to work. You want your woman to cook, clean, rear the kids, and be a sex demon all for you. And all you required really to do is go to work, bring home a few checks, and that's it. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with, of course, you know, women have made a lot of advances. You know, we hear a lot about women graduating college at much higher rates than males. We hear, you know, even in the pop culture, even in the music we listen to, Jamie Foxx, one of his biggest songs was that She Got Her Own. And, you know, that song used to be like in heavy rotation, where, you know, men look at women having things as you know, desirable traits. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be desirable, but it just kind of spoke to how I feel like relationships, even relationships now, I just kind of feel like everybody's in it for themselves. I think everybody, it seems like people are becoming mercenaries when it comes to love. You know, like, nobody goes into a relationship, or at least, again, this is just me generalizing, but it seems like nobody goes into relationships looking at it as, what do I bring to the table? What can I help this person with? How can we grow together? How can we make each other better? You know, a lot of people aren't really necessarily thinking on those terms. A lot of people come into relationships like, okay, what can this motherfucker do for me? And I think, you know, that's part of the problem. I think that's one of the biggest problems that faces, you know, I guess our community. I don't know, maybe just communities, period. But I think, like, the saddest thing to me, I think, is like our kids. This may be one of the first generations of kids who grows up and they don't go to grandma and granddad's house. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it used to be you were going to your grandparents' house. Grandma and granddaddy together. Excuse me. Grandma and granddaddy been together for like 50 years. You know, you couldn't imagine grandma being with some other dude. You couldn't imagine your granddaddy looking at another lady any old kind of way. And, you know, a lot of times, I mean, of course, you could romanticize the shit. Of course, granddaddy might have had a drinking problem, or granddaddy might have had he might have had a gambling problem or something like that. Or, you know, it might have been a whole lot of different things that were kept from us as kids, that were, you know, our grandparents were probably dealing with issues like that. But, you know, the thing of it is that even, you know, despite all of that, grandma and granddaddy were still together. And it's funny because people say they want grandma and granddaddy love all the time. You know, I want what my grandma and my granddaddy had. Grandma been together, she been my granddaddy for 50 years. They just celebrated their 50th anniversary. I want that. And you hear that a lot. I mean, I've seen and heard that from a lot of people. You hear that all the time. But the funny thing is I don't think people understand the work. I don't think people understand the tough decisions, the sacrifices that grandma and granddaddy made in order for them to be in the position that they're in. You're not 9 times out of 10 now, a motherfucker might be mad at you for something that happened on Facebook. You said something to some chick on Facebook, now, you know, your girl's mad. Or you saw some dude, you know, trying to holler at your girl. You thought she might have been giving this nigga a little bit too much attention. So now you mad. Y'all break up. And that's all it took. You know? And so, yeah, I just thought that was interesting, man. I thought it was interesting that people just, like, I guess, are just selfish. I mean, I guess it's not that groundbreaking or anything like that. I just thought it was interesting to witness this in real time, the selfishness of people. You know, because, you know, the original question again was, can you stay with somebody who can't find work? And my whole thing is, you know, maybe they have something else to contribute to the relationship other than finances. You know, maybe this person gives you comfort. Maybe this person cooks for you. Maybe this person is good to you and your children. Or, you know, like, there's a various different number of things that could affect whether or not you feel like you could continue to be with somebody. Now, if this person is completely bad for you, then by all means, get the fuck on. But when you just totally dismiss somebody simply because of their employment status, and I get, you don't start a relationship with somebody that way, you know, you don't come into a relationship like, well, this motherfucker ain't got nothing and he ain't gonna ever have nothing, you know. But you want to get to a point where you're with this person and you believe y'all can build something together. He might not even have a whole hell of a lot in the beginning, but if y'all work together, this shit can build. And so that was my thing, man. I just thought it was interesting that people had, I guess, become mercenaries in love, man. But enough of that shit now. Let's get to the news. Yeah, man, it's been a long time since I did some news, but it's a couple stories, man, that kind of caught my attention during my daily reading and shit, and figured I'd share this shit with you guys, see what you thought about it. Another preacher in the news. This one wants to be able to bring class action lawsuits against homosexuality. Yeah, that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense, but let's go on and see what they're talking about. Former Baptist pastor and Tea Party Unity founder Rick Scarborough spoke with conservative activist Peter LaBarbera on Thursday about potential anti-gay strategies, including a class action lawsuit against homosexuality. The whole issue is a class action lawsuit. You and I have talked about this a little bit, Scarborough told LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, in a conversation at a Tea Party Unity gathering Thursday. People for the Americans Way Right Wing Watch, a progressive advocacy group that monitors and reports on conservative political organizations, posted a partial transcript and audio recording of the discussion. Scarborough said he believes homosexuality and tobacco companies should be equally vulnerable to class action lawsuits. Obviously, statistically, now even the Centers for Disease Control verifies that homosexuality much more likely leads to AIDS than smoking leads to cancer, and yet the entire nation has rejected smoking. Billions of dollars are put into a trust fund to help cancer victims, and the tobacco industry was held accountable for that, Scarborough said. The CDC reported in 2008 that more deaths are caused each year by tobacco than by human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, suicides, and murders combined. But LaBarbera agreed with Scarborough. Raw Story reported and added, "We need to work on our conservative alternate media and say, look, don't do the pro-gay thing. Why don't you rather step out and support these ex-gays? We should encourage Fox News to tell these stories. These wonderful stories of happy men and women who have left a homosexual lifestyle." Earlier this year, Scarborough expressed anti-gay sentiments, declaring the word gay an abuse of the language during a guest sermon in New Jersey. "They're not gay. That's a twist into the words," Scarborough argued. It won't be long until we're calling pedophiles happy people." Okay. This shit makes my head hurt. For one, man, like, do gays profit off of just being themselves? I mean, like, I know a lot of, you know, I know gay people. I don't see them making millions and billions and trillions of dollars off of hurting other people. as we know the tobacco industry has been known to do. They know their product causes cancer, and yet they continue to peddle this product, and they found other ways to get other people hooked on this product. I mean, I saw something on, I think it was that Vice that comes on HBO, and they were talking about how in Asia, like under, you know, third world countries, where like the children start smoking early, like that's just the thing to do. And it's this type of shit just makes my head hurt. And again, it's yet another reason why, but I don't like your Christians. But here's another story, man. A man spends $100,000 to look like Justin Bieber. I thought this was kind of odd, too. A 33-year-old man, same age as me, spent nearly $100,000 over 5 years in an attempt to look like pop superstar Justin Bieber, according to Australian news outlet news.com.au. The man, Toby Sheldon, is reportedly an aspiring musician and has undergone multiple surgeries to transform his face. It's Justin's smile that gives him his youthful look. So I had my upper lip lifted and my bottom lip plumped out, Sheldon told Closer. My smile surgery took more than a month to recover from, he added. And after my eyelid surgery, I couldn't open my eyes for a week. You dumb motherfucker, you. And you know what? I guess, again, it's one of those things to where it doesn't really affect me. And I, you know, he's more than, you know, I guess, welcome to do whatever it is he wants to do to himself. But the whole thing of Justin's smile, his youthful smile, comes from, you know, that's what gives him his youthful look, is his smile. No, the fact that Justin Bieber is fucking young is what gives him his youthful look. Justin Bieber's like, what, 19, 20? Of course he has a youthful smile. He's a kid. So, dude, you're 33 and you're trying to get his look. And I think I saw something else about this guy supposedly being a recording artist and whatnot. But, I mean, how is he really going for, I guess, the Justin Bieber impersonator circuit? I mean, who knows? But this is one of those instances to where I wonder whether or not a plastic surgeon had, like, maybe referred this guy to maybe a psychiatrist before having this type of work done, because I don't know, something about this just doesn't seem, it doesn't seem like somebody's right in the head when they go through these types of drastic measures to, I guess, worship someone else. But the last story was a bit interesting. A lot of people, I've seen this on the blogs a lot lately this week, and I've heard it on the radio this week also, but Timbaland's wife has just filed for a divorce. Yeah, man. 5 years they were together. Well, at least they had been together, I think, 10 years. I think they might have been only been married for five. But let me read the story. Popular producer Timbaland, maybe riding high off the success of producing two of the biggest albums of the year, Magna Carta Holy Grail and the 2020 Experience, but things on the home front aren't as successful. Timbaland's wife of 5 years, Monique Mosley, has filed for divorce. Timbaland and Monique have been a couple for 10 years. Oh, okay, yeah. But married for five. They have one daughter together, but Monique is asking Timbaland to help support her two other children from previous relationships because Tim publicly and privately claimed the children as his own. The reason for the split hasn't been revealed, but we can tell you Monique is asking for a lot of money in the settlement. It seems Monique Mosley wants almost all of Timbaland's $80 million fortune. Okay, yeah, you can tell this is written by a blog. Along with support of the children, Monique Mosley is asking for additional payment of the children's private school education, vacations, and general life expenses. On top of all that, Monique Mosley wants more money from Timbaland, real name Timothy Mosley, for what she calls rehabilitative alimony, which is money paid until the ex-spouse is self-supporting. Now, if he's paying for all of these things for, you know, depending on how old these kids are, I guess he's going to be paying rehabilitative alimony for quite some time. Because I don't see her, for whatever reason, deciding to, you know, say, well, you know what? I'm gonna go get me a job at a boutique, something like that. That sounded so sexist. I'm sorry. But if this type of shit is true, man, she just doesn't seem like the type of person that feels like she should ever have to work. And she probably won't ever have to work, you know, depending on what the divorce settlement is, you know, but, you know, it's not my money, but, Yeah, man. I guess, again, when I was talking about this shit before, you know, people being mercenaries in love, that's a mercenary act right there. You know, a lot of people were making a lot, you know, a lot of making a lot out of the fact that she was asking for child support for the two children that weren't his. And I kind of do wonder what happened to those children's dad or dads. You know, were they not contributing at all to their children's life? You know, not even necessarily financially, but, you know, just being a part of their lives, period. Like, to the point where, like, you know, Timbaland, even though he's, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things to where, you know what, he did the right thing because this woman had children and he took her children on as a package deal. But I don't think he thought about her leaving and them being the package deal with her leaving also. So she's got him coming and going. But yeah, that's it's a bit strange, and it just kind of reminds me of reminds me of something my granddaddy used to say back in the day, man. But yeah, that was the news. The whole human race, that's why the chief and the keeper.
$2,000 to leave her alone. You see another woman out there and you wanna make a change, but she ain't gonna want you cause you won't have a damn thing. That's why it's cheaper to keep her. Everybody sing along with me. It's cheaper to keep her. By the time you get through looking at the judge in your face, you're gonna wanna cuss the whole human race. That's why.
Yeah, you know what, it's kind of cool that I could like plug my granddaddy in on the podcast every now and again. I ain't gonna lie, man, that's the shit that kind of make me a little proud, even though I ain't, you know, real cool with my sperm donor or whatnot. But yeah, man, it's cheaper to keep her. And hopefully Timbaland doesn't get broke off as much as he possibly could. But hey, who knows? He might have been an asshole that whole time. But yeah, now is feedback time, man. And you know what? I want to thank everybody, man. I really do. I want to thank everybody who took the time out to send me some feedback, man. I could tell that the more I do this, the more people are feeling comfortable to send something in, man, to, you know, to get their voice heard, to get, you know, responded to, you know. And so I got a few emails, I even got a few voicemails to get to, and without further ado, let's get to this feedback. And I'm gonna first start off with the voicemails.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Stan? It's my Torres, man, just chiming in. Just finishing listening up to your last show here. And first things first, I dialed this number. Nigga, and your picture and shit shows up in my phone. And then the smartphone shit is scary anyway. Man, I watched the damn scandal too, man. And you know, that whole sexual love triangle is an afterthought to all that political maneuvering. So I'm with you there. You know, and man, shout out for playing that Ghetto Boy song, man. The Timekeeper. I forgot exactly what it was, but messing with the hell out of that back in high school. Anyway, man, I've been listening for a while. Probably ain't never said much about it, but yeah, I've been listening. Glad you're back doing it steadily. And keep it up, man. Peace out. All right.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot, man, for the voicemail, Montoyas. Let me tell y'all, man, if any of y'all don't follow this brother on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, I've seen some of the stuff this guy does on Instagram. This is one barbecuing motherfucker, man. One barbecuing and stogie smoking motherfucker, man. I fucks with Montoyas, man. That's my... And he's a big Houston Texans fan, man. So, yeah, man. Shout out, man. Shout out, man. Real talk. And, yeah, man, that whole scandal shit, man. I don't understand why niggas are so butthurt, dude. I really don't, man. I like the show. It's pretty fucking good. I didn't, you know what? It was funny because you know, like with my uncle, you know, the thing with my uncle and everything, like I had missed a couple episodes. When I came home, I thought I was tripping because I saw an episode come on Tuesday. And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't even want to watch this shit because I don't know if this is the new one or what. They didn't change the date the shit comes on or not. And I was able to catch up on Hulu, man. But, yeah, man, I don't know what, you know, dudes getting stuck on the whole sex with the white guy shit, man. All this other stuff that's going on, man. Hell, this woman was in a damn a bomb situation with a woman who thought her son was a patriot instead of, you know, not really knowing that her son was actually her son was a patriot. She just didn't know it. And the United States couldn't tell her because he was on some black ops type shit. But again, that's the type of shit motherfuckers miss for not watching the show, man. And yeah, man, they Ghetto Boy shit. The Resurrection album, 1996. That shit went hard, son. I used to bang that shit hard in the motherfucker back then. Them and the Fifth Ward Juveniles, man. I don't know if motherfuckers really remember them, but like I used to bump they shit real hard back in the day, like 95, 96, man. The Fifth Ward Juveniles, that was the only fucking album they ever came out with. But yeah, man. Shit, I fucks with Texas like that, man. Especially when it come to that Rap-A-Lot shit, man. Rap-A-Lot had the shit on lock. I remember I used to think Twista was a part of Rap-A-Lot because he was on Do or Die shit back in the day. But yeah, man. But appreciate you reaching out, brother, man. Real talk. And on to the next voicemail.
Yo, Mr. Spin, this is Rashani. Just wanted to say, you know, big fan of the show, big fan of what you're doing, big fan of the truth. So keep it coming. I'm sorry about your uncle, man. Like, seriously. Want to offer my condolences for your loss. And, let's see, what else? Oh, yeah. Never could figure out why people were concerned about what other people wear. You know, sometimes I be wearing underwear with holes in it. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I just wanted to mention it. But, yeah, folks get way too involved with what person's doing instead of trying to get their own. And that kind of sad. It's debilitating more than anything else. Figure out how to get their own instead of worrying about what the next nigga doing. But that's just my opinion. You know, I'm not wrong. Not close to being wrong, but just my opinion. Yeah, man, you're doing a great job, great show. That federal shutdown thing, man, if they only knew who they were hurting with that, I don't think they'd care, but if the public knew who was actually being hurt with that, cancer research has been stopped due to the federal shutdown. You know, food stamps, so kids, no child left behind. It's all bad. Section 8, people out on the streets pretty soon. It's all bad, you know. But you're doing a great job, man. Keep up the great work, and I'll holler at you later. Again, this is Rashani, single song cast, 20 minutes, Dream Team, sending thoughts. I'm out.
Yo, what's up, Rashani, brother, man? Yeah, you know what? That's much appreciated, man. Thank you for the condolences, man. And yeah, I appreciate you listening to the show. And I like, again, when it comes to people listening to shows, man, look, listen to me, listen to Haterazzi, listen to the Black Guy Who Tips, listen to the Single Simulcast, listen to the Black Astronauts, listen to I'm Black, He's Mexican. Listen, I mean, there's so many different podcasts, man, but I really implore people to support podcasts, man. I was just a guest on Rashani's podcast a few weeks ago, and we had fun, man. We talked about a whole lot of other, you know, crazy shit. You know, a lot of mundane can be funny because, you know, you talk about everyday shit, and every day some funny shit goes on. And yeah, man, like, I appreciate, you know, you coming through, and I see you got like 30 different fucking shows right now. But that's all good, man. That's all good. Now, you know, I appreciate you coming through, man. I appreciate you having me on. And you know what? I need to do that, man. I need to start having guests on this damn thing. I start getting lonely over here. I mean, I got my girl and shit, but yeah, I get lonely talking to my motherfucking self into this microphone. So yeah, I might have to start like having guests and shit. And oh yeah, I don't mean to like kind of cut into your voicemail real quick, but you know what? I'm not going to do that just yet. I'm not going to do that. The government shut down because, you know what? I'm starting to have like ADHD and shit, but the government shut down. Yeah. I'm glad it's over. A lot of people were being affected in ways that nobody really knew that they were going to be affected. Like, I remember they were talking about the people that stormed the Veterans Memorial or something like that. And then they took a flag to the White House or whatever the fuck. And they were with the same motherfuckers who actually shut the government down, which was so ironic about the whole goddamn thing. But, you know, the whole thing with the government shutdown, man, it's funny because until people start actually paying attention to the politics and, recognizing who's doing what and to whom and stop voting against their interests, man, we're going to continue to see shit like this happen, unfortunately. But, yeah, man, I appreciate you. I really appreciate you reaching out, brother. Real talk. And that is all for the voicemail. So now let me get to the emails. Yeah. I got three emails this week. And the first one I got comes from, Taiwan. And Taiwan says, been listening to the podcast for a while. Happy to see you finally keeping it consistent. love your stories and your insight. I lost someone close to me, so I understand the emotion tied to your uncle's passing. I feel real bad for Mr. Gates, though. I hear his baby mama just passed. So much tragedy. And that government shutdown is some bullshit, but that's for another day. Just wanted to say I enjoyed the show. I don't have any negative feedback. And thanks for accepting my follow on Instagram. Peace out. No doubt, Taiwan, man. I appreciate you you reaching out. And you know what? I just made my Instagram public now, you know, because at first I had that shit pretty much locked down. There's some stuff I need to clean up on my Instagram, so to speak. But I made it public only because I guess like I got tired of having to, I guess, maybe accept people. You know, some people I didn't understand what their motive was. I got a lot of ghost followers at first, so I kind of like shut it down because I didn't like the whole ghost following thing. But then I was like, what the fuck, you know, I'm not like you know, like I'm not like in like the Secret Service and other. So I said, fuck it, you know what, I open it on up. And yeah, man, so appreciate the follow on Instagram as well, man. But yeah, with Mr. Gates, man, yeah, I'm keeping that brother in my prayers, man. I gave him a phone call. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to get in touch with him. You know, his voicemail was full, so I couldn't even leave a brother a message. But, yeah, we thinking about him. You know what I'm saying? And I saw that, too, that he had, you know, he talked about it briefly on Facebook. You know, he announced his daughter, well, his kid's mother's passing. And, you know, it's funny, man. I saw one comment, man. It kind of irked me. I'm not even dealing with the situation, but it kind of irked me that somebody thought that would be an appropriate time to ask their brother to put out another podcast. Now, I understand, you know, folks being, you know, they're being fans of the show and they want more of the show. And it's been a while since Gates done put a show out. But, hey, man, let that brother deal with his issues right now. That brother is dealing with some stuff, man. Give him the room to do that. I mean, I'm pretty sure when he feels sufficient enough to bring the podcast back, he will do so. But until that point, man, let that brother do what he needs to do, man. That's the thing, man. Like, keep that brother in your prayers more than anything else. You know, think about that. You know, send good wishes his way. You know, be good fans, man. Shit. You know, but yeah, man. I'm thinking about that brother. I'm glad to hear that you're thinking about that brother. And thanks again for listening to the Span Report, brother. Thanks for your support. And yeah, man, I hope to hear from you soon, bro. Real talk. And the next email I got was from the Black Hasselhoff. And the Black Hasselhoff says, first off, I would like to say I love the podcast, especially the stories about your job and entering different houses. Some of them stories are crazy, fam. Yeah, it can get crazy. I wrote in today after hearing the story you told about your Uncle Ronnie. May he rest in peace. It made me realize that I need to get home and visit my loved ones more often. We get caught up in our own lives, working, etc., and a lot of us don't make that time to just kick it with family. Thank you for sharing that personal story, and I'm planning on visiting my uncle really soon. Take care. The Black Hasselhoff from the Forget That Yo podcast. All right, brother. Forget That Yo podcast. I might have to check that out. I'm about to check your show out, man. But again, man, I really do appreciate the condolences and the thoughts, man. I really do. And yeah, we do. We do get caught up in our own lives and what we, you know, what we are all into doing. Like, I know even with myself, you know, work does consume a lot of my time. You know, sometimes I would, you know, I'm at work at 7:30 in the morning. I might not get off until 5-6 o'clock in the evening, you know, and then on top of that, I got responsibilities at home. So, you know, the sad thing is the only visit I've even had a chance to make to Chicago this year has been to go to my uncle's funeral. So, yeah, you know, people need to, you know, take time out. And, you know, if you can't get to the ones you love, at least tell the ones you love that you love them, you appreciate them, because you never know when you're going to see them again or if you're going to see them again. So, yeah, man, thank you again for the email, brother. And like I said, I'll check out the Forget That Yo podcast, man. I'll put that in the rotation, bro, real talk. Thank you for reaching out. And the last email I got here was from Greg. And Greg says, I know you're probably getting tired of all the gun questions, but I had to ask you, after hearing about the school shootings in Nevada, has it changed your thoughts on your carrying weaponry? Greg. Okay. No, it hasn't changed my thoughts on it. One of the things for me is when I first heard about it, I wondered, you know, of course I wondered where the kid got the gun from. And when they said that he got it, it was, you know, the gun was owned by one of his parents, was how the hell did he get to it? But then another thing too is, like, you have to understand that some people have different attitudes towards guns than other people do. Me personally, I wouldn't necessarily have my gun around my daughter, but other people, they teach guns to their children rather early to take the curiosity away from them. So this kid may have been pretty experienced with guns even at his young age, but at the same time, you have to just kind of just make sure that you do the best for you in that particular period in time. And, like, you know, I do what's best for me here at home. That's the only thing that I can say that I, you know, that when it comes to my guns or whatever, I try to do what's best for me here at home. I can't let a story that happened in the news affect how I protect me and mine. I have to do what's best for me and mine here. So the measures that I've employed, I hope, are good measures. I try my best to keep to them. But at the end of the day, man, no, that didn't change my attitude towards guns. I just kind of wondered what were the safety precautions that his parents took, if at all, like, they had used guns with him before, if the kid was knowledgeable about guns and whatnot. But at the end of the day, man, that's a really tragic story, and you hate to hear it, but it hasn't changed my attitude at all. It hasn't. I just have to be more diligent about what it is that I do and how I go about my daily business as far as that is concerned. But thank you for the question, brother, and thank you. I hope to hear from you, man. Come on, send me some emails, send me some voicemails, send me all of that shit. But yeah, if you sent emails and if you sent voicemails and things like that, I'm pretty sure you already know how to get at me at the Span Report. But for those of you who haven't, here's your reminder to get at me here on the Span Report. Let your voice be heard. There's a few different ways to do that. You can send me an email at the Span Podcast. That's the Span Podcast, all one word, at gmail.com. Send me an email. I'll read those emails right here on the show, and I'll respond to those emails right here on the show. If you want to send me a voicemail, you can call the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Send me a voicemail. I'll play those voicemails here on the show, listen to them, and respond to those right here on the show. If you want to get at me on Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. My name on Twitter is the same as it is everywhere. That's Mr. Span. That's MR_Span on Twitter. It's also the same on Instagram. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's MR_Span on Instagram. So follow me there. Show me some love on my Facebook fan page, man. I got like 150 some odd likes. I like to get that number a bit higher than 150 some odd likes. So like my fan page on Facebook. That's Mr. Span. So you can go on Facebook, type in Mr. Span. I should come up. It's the Mr. Span fan page. Go ahead, like the fan page. Show me some love over there. If you want to leave any comments on any episode that I've done, and those will also get read here on the show, go to thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available on thespanreport.com. They also have a comment section there. You can use your Facebook account, or you could just sign in anonymously and leave something there. I'll read those right here on the show, but go to thespanreport.com. Leave your feedback there as well. And those also get read right here on the show. And I got a BBM. I don't know how many motherfuckers is actually about to start using this shit, but I just put BBM on my Android phone, right? And I know not a lot of motherfuckers use it, but I want to see like what the fuck the fuss is about this BBM shit. So I put BBM on my phone. If you want to chop up with me on every now and again, because again, I work a lot. So if you want to chop up with me, we can talk on BBM. I don't even have a pin yet. That's how early it is in the game for that shit. But we'll get started on that. I'm going to try to make like a chat group or something like that on BBM or WhatsApp or whatever the fuck. But oh, one more thing. This is a $100 podcast. So this is what you got to do. You have to find out which episode of the Span Report podcast played no R&B music. So the first person to send me an email telling me which episode of the Span Report podcast played no R&B music, the first person to do that gets $100, okay? You have to have a PayPal account so I can send you the money through PayPal. But you have to have a PayPal account, and you can't be family, and you can't be somebody that I know personally, like in my everyday life. So those people are exempt from winning this $100 prize. But yes, this is a $100 podcast. So if you tell me which episode I did where I didn't play any R&B music at all, you win $100. You got to be the first one, though. All right. But yeah. That's it. This is a $100 podcast. This is episode 28. And I'm about to get the hell out of here, man. I got to go to work tomorrow. And it's kind of early, I know. But I got to go to work tomorrow. So, yeah. Thank you again to everybody who sent me words of encouragement, who sent me words of condolences. I appreciate you. I love you. And I hope to hear from you guys. And I'll talk to you again soon. So, until next time, fam. Peace.
So funny running into you. It has to be 3 years since we last seen each other. Many flashbacks come to mind of the wild and crazy times we used to have with one another. We absolutely didn't care. We would do it anywhere. Eye contact and it was over. But that's when I was wilding out. I couldn't care less about someone getting hurt. I've done my share of dirt, but I'm a wise dog. Oh, oh yeah. Others after you, quite a few one night stands. Some of their names I can't remember. Imagine waking up with someone who you barely even knew. Time and time again, but there's someone for everyone. I've been blessed to find that one who makes me feel like no other. You are looking good as hell, but I can't go home with you, because I'm going home to her.
alive, I'm alive, I don't have to drink no more.
Girl, it was nice seeing you, but I gotta go home.
Yeah.
It reminds me.